remembering the sacrifices folks have made, but as we all know, it's traditionally the time that folks begin to seize that opportunity for the early vacation. So I commend you and thank you for being here today. I appreciated so much my friend Rebecca Williams this week. She called me. She said, "Hey, I want you to know we're going up to work on the beach house. They have one that they use for evangelizing teams and youth teams to come and stay in." She said, "We're going up to work this week, but I wanted you to know we're going to be back on Sunday." So she's right over here. Franz Daniel back in the back. Thank you all for that faithfulness. That's the spirit you love. And I also love so much Jason Stitt this week. He and his wife Posey were taking turns with Raina in the hospital down in Georgetown. She had an infection, and he wrote a great note. He said, "I'm realizing that we've spent far too much time in hospitals and not enough time at the beach the last few years. We must reverse this trend." And I like that. He followed it with the hashtag, "Laughter and prayer are the best medicine." So Rain is still in our prayers, the family so much. It's a wonderful time of season to be thinking about family and opportunities and do things. So I thought we'd do this. I want to invite you all to go on a trip with me without ever leaving the room this morning. Too bad, Paula. Since it's Memorial Day, maybe you can guess our destination. We're going to a funeral. Yours. Oh, doesn't that sound like fun? And what's more, I'm going to let you witness the entire service in your imagination. So maybe you need to close your eyes for just a moment, not your minds. Close your eyes. Think about it. There's that organ playing as you walk into the funeral home or the sanctuary for the service. You come in that back door. You take your seat. You check it to see who's there. You see the flowers that are down front, the organ playing, people who have come to bid you farewell. And you notice that there are four chairs up front, four people who have been invited to speak about your life, share some remarks. Now who are those four? Here we go. The first one is a member of your family. You might think about who that would be. Which one would be the one to have the courage and the desire to speak up? The second of the four is one of your longtime friends. The third, someone that you've worked alongside of for years. The fourth, somebody from your church family. They're all going to say a few words about you. But there's a catch to this funeral that's going to make it different from many funeral services you've ever seen. All four of them are going to tell the truth. And I can tell some of you have been to a few services, and you're trying to figure out if you were in the wrong room after you heard the description. You're thinking, "That's not the person I came for. I don't really recognize all that stuff." People who tell you the truth, everything they say. Think about that for just a minute. What would each speaker be able to say about the kind of person that you were? What kind of husband or wife or father or mother? What kind of friend or coworker? What would you want them to be able to say about you? Even beyond specific moments that you shared with them, what would you want them to say about the kind of person you were, about your character? What achievements, what markers that you have hit would you want them to mention? As you think about the people who would be present there, what difference would you like to hear them say you made in their life? What phrases would you hope to encounter? Not unusual to hear somebody say, "He was a really hard worker. She always had a smile." You could depend on him for anything. He never let me down. I've never met a more honest person than her. She was generous. She was caring. What are the things that you imagine people saying about you? Because those who study such things tell us that if you can think through that kind of scenario in your head, if you can actually stop for 5 minutes and think that through, think about who you would want to speak and the kinds of things you would want them to say at your funeral, that can help you determine your direction in life. That can help you decide about your purpose, the way you want to move through your life. They can help you make plans for your future, because if you want people to remember certain things, then you must help bring those things about so that you don't find yourself looking back someday and just constantly regretting, I could have done, I should have done, I wish I would have done those things. There is nothing worse than approaching the end of life overwhelmed with regret. What you did, what you did not do. Sometimes you hear it put this way, what will your legacy be? And I think it's a really important question, because it's one of the things that comes up in our conversation about church merger. We talk about our identity, our legacy. What do we leave behind? And it is my view that your legacy may be something you leave behind, but it's only really worth something if it affects life moving forward for somebody else. That's a real legacy. Anything else is just history. Legacy is the impact that you leave behind, whether it's as a church, whether it's as an individual. Now, let me pause here and just say, next week, we're going to celebrate 24 years together as pastor and people. We actually hit that mark last Sunday, but we set aside a couple of weeks, give us a little room to kind of plan a special service. And for those of you who really, really, really enjoy music, then next week is a service you don't want to miss. It will be primarily a service of music with some wisdom kind of thrown in, shared about, stories told in between songs. We're going to have some guest musicians you're going to enjoy. We're going to have many of our own homegrown musicians sharing in different ways. We're going to have everything from contemporary Christian to bluegrass to throwback gospel to come on and enjoy. It'll be a great way to celebrate together. Those of you who know me know that my life is a mixture of preaching and music. And so that's what we're going to kind of celebrate next week as we mark 24 years together. Some duets, some solos, some quartets, some group singing, just come on. We're going to talk about that wisdom that comes from walking through life together next week. So I hope you'll be back. It'll be the wrap-up of our wisdom series. So I look forward to sharing that time together in a beautiful morning of worship next Sunday. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been looking at wisdom through the eyes of a number of different people. We've looked at Solomon and Joshua and wisdom from Paul. And on Mother's Day, we studied wisdom from our mothers. Today, we're going to talk about wisdom from a life worth memorializing. Very appropriate, of course, on Memorial Day. So what I thought we'd do is, instead of learning from some famous Christian who has passed on years ago, we would learn our lessons today on wisdom, in a way, from each other, from you. I want to talk about what has to be present in your life or in mine to have a life that is worth one day being memorialized, and memorialized well. As I thought through, and I hope you were thinking through a few moments ago, that funeral service of yours, the people that were up on the podium, what you want them to be able to say, I hope you understand that the real goal of that exercise was that you and I might choose, might plan, might engage in living a life that is worth remembering someday. Now, most people, when you talk about planning your life, they make one of two mistakes. One is you spend all of your life thinking about what you're going to do one day, and you never really fully engage in the significance of today. And not only is that sad at the end, but we also know it's quite risky because you never know when the day comes that it said your life is required of thee. It's the end. There is no chance to redo tomorrow. So you want to be careful about just thinking about tomorrow and not living for today. But the other mistake, of course, is just the opposite, living everything today with a total disregard for the future. That motto that the Bible mentions, that idea of, oh, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So we eat, drink, and be merry today, and then tomorrow we don't die, and now what do we have? We got a mess from eating and drinking and being merry the day before. And I'm not really sure we got the income we need to cover tomorrow now because I didn't plan. So somewhere between those two is what we're talking about, that happy medium. And I would just say that it's a balance that can be achieved. Some of you live this way beautifully. But here's the way I would sum it up. I would say that the real balance is you live for today like it matters for all eternity. Because it does. It really does. Live each day with awareness that each day has not only the potential, but it actually is the reality. It's almost like a little piggy bank where deposits are made. It has to do with eternal significance today. That's your life and mine. That's the potential that we have. It's the opportunity that we have. What you do today will make a difference in how you perceive the value of your life when your time on earth is done. If you value today and invest in today, and you do that again tomorrow and the next day, and you're investing in people and you're making a difference here and making a difference there, when you get to the end, you will know that though you live for today, you did so with an eye to eternity, and that made all the difference when you arrive at the end. That's really what we're talking about when we talk about a life that's worth memorializing so that it will be significant. It's hard to think about, but you know, you realize when you actually take the time to invest in somebody's life, God uses you many times to make a difference. If that person is a Christian and lives in heaven with you forever, that investment has paid off for tens of thousands of years. That's a tremendous investment. That's the opportunity we have. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:8, this is a great verse, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. You don't just stumble through life. You're making choices. You're making plans. Now, when I keep talking right now about making investments in the present, to shape this future, you might, if you're a time-focused person, have noticed that there's an element I'm not talking too much about. The past. You know me well enough to know that I'm not saying we ignore our past. I tell stories from my past. We remember blessings from our past. It's dangerous to ignore your past. It's not inconsequential. For many of us, there are things we need to understand from our past because they continue to shape us in the present and therefore they influence our future. So it's okay to be aware of that past. But let's say it once again in case anybody's in danger of forgetting. The past can only ever be the past. It is, by definition, in the rearview mirror. We can look back at it, we can honor it, we can get stuck in it, but we can never fix it or change it. If we want to plan and engage our lives, we want to live them fully in ways worth memorializing, we have to keep our focus on the present with a view to the future, a view to eternity. And I'm only going to talk about this one more time. This is the last time I'm going to mention this today. But we talk about wisdom and legacy and what that means for church life and the merger. This message today, which is really about how we live our lives, is also true for the life of any and every church. Sometimes people say, will we lose our identity in the merger? The answer is yes and no. Thank you, brother. Got a man of wisdom right there. That's absolutely correct. Yes and no. Yes, some specific habits, some specific things, certainly will have to change. But I just want to say this to you guys in this room, folks. It's been 10 years since we voted to sell. That was 2005 that we've 10 years since we voted to sell the old property and relocate. So my view is kind of this. If you aren't living on board the good old cruise ship of change, you've already left this boat. I mean, this crew. I mean, those people aren't here. This is a cruise ship called change that we're living with. They travel with this bunch. But no, not everything will change. Jesus put it this way. He said, if the salt has lost its flavor, it's good for nothing except to be thrown out in the street to be trampled on. I haven't lost my flavor. God willing, that's never going to happen. The SOH, Streams of Hope Flavor Enhancer, has a vital role to play in any merger that might come out. Our passions that are shared with First Gaithersburg in many ways for missions, for service, for the least of these. Our commitment to minister to the community in which we live and to look like that community in which we live. Our love for the Bible, expressed by being not just hearers, but doers of the word. A love for people, expressed through hospitality. A love for God, expressed through worship. A commitment to discover and use the gifts that God has given to build the body of Christ and to reach the world. Folks, those things will not change. That part of our identity does not change. Methods change. The message does not. The values do not. They're part of who we are. And they infuse and shape any and every relationship we ever enter into. And folks, if that's true about our church, and I believe it is, it's also true of our individual lives. You have the opportunity to touch with your flavor so many lives in the course of your life journey. And our question for today is, how do we do that? You see, because our legacy is not our past. Honoring the legacy of FBC Wheaton is not just by looking at pictures from the 50s and 60s when we have our church anniversary in October. That's not the legacy. That's our history. The legacy is carried forward by us continuing to be, as the Bible says, living stones, living testimonies that God is building and using to build His kingdom. And should Jesus tarry, what is said about the people of this part of Streams of Hope's history, what is said about us 20 or 30 years from now, that's legacy, folks. Do we falter in the face of giants, or do we step forward in faith? So just something to chew on. Put that in your back pocket, chew on that in the next few months, right? We're still processing and working through those thoughts. What does it mean to be a church on a faith journey with God? Enough on that for the moment. Let's go back to talking about how we do our lives today, how you can manage your life today in a way that will help you reach your goals, in a way that is worthy of being memorialized so that you make a difference, you accomplish things that last far beyond your lifetime. Maybe you wasted yesterday. I don't know. Maybe you have wasted a lot of your yesterdays. Here's the good news. Today is yours. What are you doing from this point forward? What are you doing today? You can take charge of today. You can begin doing things today that will ensure you get the most out of today, and in the process, you shape your future into what you want it to be. So here are three things. If you're a note taker, this is on the back of your bulletin for today, if you'd like to jot some things down. First of all, do this. Decide the kind of person you want to be and do something today to make it true. Decide the kind of person you want to be and do something today to make it true. This is getting to that character piece. Who are you? Not just what you do, but who you are. What kind of person do you want to be? If those people who were invited to speak at your funeral were to share, what would you want them to say? What would you want them to be able to say truthfully about you and how you lived? One pastor said he asked his folks that in a small group meeting one day. What do you want people to be able to say about you? And one person spoke up and said, I want people to say that she wasn't just out to make friends. She cared about doing what was right. Another person said, I want to be remembered as someone who was sensitive to the hurts of others. Now, listen to those two different statements. The first person worked in a place where she frequently had to make unpopular decisions based on what she thought was best for her company. They were hard decisions. She had to make them. She did what was right. The second person had a career based in the social services. She worked with hurting people. Both were committed Christians. Each one had different views on what was important to them in their character development and how they lived their lives. What I want you to understand is one wasn't better than the other. They were being who they were to be in the setting they were. We're not out to make copycats in here. We're not expecting everybody to be alike. And you're thinking, boy, that's a good thing, Pastor, because we got the gamut in this place. And you would be correct. It makes it difficult some days, but it makes it beautiful every day. So as you think about who you would want to be, as you think about what you want people to be able to say honestly at your funeral, here's the question. What values are most important to you? What do you want them to say about you? Because once you've made that decision intentionally, well thought out, biblically, prayed over, thinking about the kind of person, what are you doing with the God-given gifts God has given you? You can be at peace. There's nothing more troubling to me than meet people who are still second-guessing their entire lives. You make that decision intentionally and move forward in faith. When you read what Paul wrote through the Scriptures, it's obvious he placed a lot of value on consistency and faithfulness. Near the end of his ministry, he wrote this. He said, as he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, I have fought the good fight. You've heard this at many funerals, right? I've fought the good fight, not just a fight, the good fight. That's important to take note of if you're in this room today, okay? I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Earlier in the book of Acts, he wrote a very similar thing. He said, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. See, pretty easy to figure out. If you ask Paul, what's important to you? What do you want people to be able to say at your funeral? He would say something like, I want people to say Paul was faithful to the end. He kept striving, he kept putting it forward, pursuing the task that God had put before him. How did he make sure that was going to happen? He knew the kind of person he needed to be, and he did something. You read that life story of Paul. He's consistently making decisions that move him forward in the direction of the big direction that he says he wants to go. I want to be faithful. And so he gets on that track, and every day he's getting up and he's asking God. And you may remember, there was a time where he thought he was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He was ready to go and do it, and he had a dream, and God said, no, not over there, over here. Those surprises come. even when you're being faithful. But because the big picture was to be faithful, for him, it's not a deviation to say, now I'm going over here, because it was never about going where he wanted to go. It's about going where God wants him to go, where God wants to use him or her or me or you. And Paul wrote these words. Hello. I got an amen from somebody that didn't. I love what he said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. He said, I beat my body, I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. See, there's that same theme, running the race, keeping it going, fighting the good fight. I'm pushing forward, big picture, my eye is on the prize, down the road, the eternal picture. But he's making decisions every day. I'm being faithful. I don't want to be disqualified. I see that distraction. Don't look at that. I'm going to stay on the road. I'm going to keep doing what I'm here to do. He's making decisions today, faithfully. So if you and I want lives of significance, if we want lives worth memorializing, we have to be faithful today. Do something today. You want to be generous? You want to be known as a generous person at your funeral? Do something generous today. Do something gracious. Do something giving. You want to be known as a kind person? Don't think about what you're going to do next week. Do something today that's kind and gracious. Whatever you want it is to be true about you at the end, start doing something today. And I'm going to give you a little homework assignment. Here's something you make a note of. I want you to go home, think of the things that those people at your funeral are going to say, and think about what are the two or three most important characteristics I want to be known for. What do I really want? Is it that I'm the smartest person in the room? Because you might want to think that one over a little bit, you know? You might want to say, what I want to be known for being gracious, generous, kind, loving. You fill it in. Willing to make the tough decision. Courageous, a risk taker, a visionary, whatever it is. But think about those characteristics and begin doing some things. Because here's the thing. If you pick even just one or two traits and you say, Lord, help me each day for the next 3 weeks. So this is a 21-day assignment. This is your homework. This is a great summer, you know, start to the summer kind of project. You can knock this out in June, and then you can enjoy July and August, right? Because here's the deal. If you do something for the next 21 days, you know how long you'll do it? Some of you will do it for the rest of your life. Because what they have discovered is most people who set up a daily habit for that long, it sticks with you. So if you say, I want to be a kind person, and you focus for the next 3 weeks on doing at least one act of kindness every day, consciously, intentionally, you know what will happen on day 22? Even though the 21 days are up, you will do something kind. And on day 23, and you'll begin to discover that this has been shaped and formed into your character. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15 says this, a prudent man gives thought to his steps. So that's what I mean. You take a decision for the next 21 days. Give thought to your steps. Do it, and it will shape you forever. Here's the second thing to do. If you want to have a life that is worth memorializing, you have to focus on what you want to give rather than what you want to get. Focus on what you want to give rather than what you want to get. Can I just say something to you, dear Christian brothers and sisters out there? I've been to a lot of church services. I've been to a lot of conferences over the years. Sometimes I hear them talk about claiming things in prayer. And one of the things they talk about is you don't just think for it. Don't just pray for it. You should talk like you already have it. I earn 100K a year. You talk like that, and one day you will. I don't know where they get that from the Bible. That is not from the Bible. I live in a 5,000 square foot home. No, you don't. I don't either. That's crazy stuff. I'm not talking about that. Although some of us are still laughing about the joke I made for years about the Mercedes SUV, and then Phil let me have his Mercedes when he passed. Amazing thing. Amazing thing. But that's more unlikely than it is likely. Listen, folks, let me explain something to you. When we talk about focusing on what you want to give rather than what you want to get, The key thing about that is that there is a big difference between having stuff and living a life of significance. Plenty of people have stuff. People got more stuff than you can ever hope to have. No matter how much stuff you got, the chances of you ever having as much stuff as Bill Gates is highly unlikely. You know, it ain't about having stuff. It's about having a life of significance. So let me just say, instead of setting a goal for how much money you'll get, you know, one of the places I can excel in deciding how much I'm going to give of myself, of my resources, of my love. And you decide you're going to be a giver rather than a taker, you can make an enormous difference. And trust me, that line's a lot shorter. There are a lot of people on the line wanting to get rich. There's only a few who've devoted themselves to taking, I'm going to take a step every day because I want to be a giver in people's lives. I want to be a giver, not just a getter. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:4, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. There's a Memorial Day verse for you right there, my friends. What you do is more important than what you have. It is your accomplishments, not your acquisitions, that matter and give your life significance. Okay, well, our time is getting away. Let me jump down to the third one. The third way you create a life that's worth memorializing, that's worth being remembered, is a life where you look for eternal significance in all you do. You look for eternal significance in all you do. It's a famous story. I don't remember the last time. I probably used it in a sermon close to 20 years ago. But they went up on a construction site and they asked the brick workers what they were doing. One guy said, I'm laying bricks. Another guy said, I'm making $17.50 an hour. And the third one said, I'm building a cathedral. It's all about your perspective. What's your view about what you're doing? They all three had the same job, but all three had different perspectives. What's your perspective? Let me suggest to you as a follower of Christ, your perspective should be an eternal one. It should be the big picture one. The key to significance, to a life worth memorializing, is recognizing eternal value in the daily little things you do. So friends, just remember this week, every day matters. The details of your life may sometimes seem incredibly mundane, but our lives are filled with moments that impact eternity. Has this ever happened to you? You thought you were just having a little chat with somebody, but later you hear them talk about how that conversation with you made a difference for them. Sometime you thought you were just making small talk with somebody, but later you hear that person say, yeah, I remember the day I became friends with Bill. We were just sitting out on the porch talking about nothing, but it meant the world to me. A friendship strengthened, a relationship formed. Every day we make little decisions that have eternal consequences. We may even think that we're just laying bricks, but we're actually building a cathedral for the glory of God. Watch for the meaning in little things. Do things with an eye to eternity. Folks, this was present in the life of Christ again and again. You remember what he would do? He'd be having a meal with a bunch of friends, and he would turn it into a life-changing experience. He'd be walking down the road with his disciples and see a tree and tell a story that made a difference for eternity. That's the word of God to you and me. He would teach them a lesson in faith. He would meet two on the road and just walk with them and tell stories after his resurrection. But boy, how their hearts came alive. These are daily, mundane moments. Taking a walk, going to work, doing this thing at school, doing something in my neighborhood, but it's a chance to impact eternity. So, as we close on this Memorial Day weekend, I'm going to close with a few pictures. I know another Memorial Day tradition, going to the beach. We talked about it. Anybody ever been to Ocean City for Sand Fest at the end of the summer where they carve all those crazy big honking things in the sand? Every year. And Ocean City's not the only one. Done East Coast, West Coast, Rehoboth, Ocean City. Let's say the beach is a part of our summertime that we're getting into right now. Those of you going on the Brazil mission trip, right? You're out there? Yeah? We'll get a little time on the praia down in Brazil. Yeah, be all right. Nobody objects to that. Well, each year in Ocean City at the end of the summer, there's a sand sculpting contest. It's called Sand Fest. They create these works with castles. You see here all the sea animals, octopi. No, I knew that word, did you? Octopi, dolphinuses, dragons, cars. You'll see all kinds of crazy stuff. Watch out for the big gators. They don't come too much to the ocean, as I understand. You watch these thousands of visitors come to see these sand sculptures. Now, here's what you may have figured out. If you go there a few days later, you know what you will see? Sand. Flattened out. Nothing. Because sooner or later, the water just kind of comes up. The magnificent works of sand art have been washed out. People have stomped on them. Little kids have played in them. Whatever it takes. Everything that people oohed and aahed over is gone. And the beach looks like it did before the contest. Here is the good news for you and me. That is not the parable of our lives. You can have a life of eternal significance. Start today. Let's pray. God, I just pray you'll burn that truth in all of our minds, that the key to living today like it matters is to realize it does, that it has eternal significance, that you are building character in us, you are shaping us, you want to use us to influence others, to change this world, and to change ourselves, so that one day, we either caught up with Christ in the clouds in a direct move, or we have a life worth memorializing when this earthly life is done. Help us to make our lives count in that way, eternally. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. And all God's people agreed and said,